Are you one of the 149 million people over the age of 16 who enjoys spending time recreating in God's creation? If so, we'd like to invite you to join us on today's Trail to Adventure. Together, we'll meet outdoor personalities who are using what they do, a field or stream, to show those in their sphere of influence about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
Well, all right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and on the Trail to Adventure, we're in Wisconsin. This is Rice Lake. I've been past this area many, many times. I do believe I spoke at a game dinner in this area a few years back, but an opportunity for me to be with a couple that has, in this area, in their past, went through a tremendous time of difficulty. And the way this all came about, that I even know about what had happened to them, is nothing happening by accident. I was on my way to Wyoming. It was November, and I pulled into a gas station in Iowa, and next to me was a vehicle, and the gentleman walked over and gave me his book and had said he had heard the program back when he used to live in Wisconsin. We're going to find out how all of these things played together. But again, I think God is, he orchestrates our path, and that was a divine meeting at that time. We're right now with the Robinsons, first of all. Dennis, welcome to God's Great Outdoors.
Thank you very much.
And Peggy, you too, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Well, Dennis, it actually took me several months, at least six, before I started reading your book. And that's because I had a stack of things that people had sent to me. Sometimes they're individuals. Right now I'm reading a book on creation that somebody said you just got to read. Sometimes it's like you, people that have had an experience and they want me to read their book. And publishers send me books because we produce a radio program and they want me to have that person on the program. So got to yours and I was just amazed at what you went through. But before we start hearing about all of that, let's talk a little bit about your days here in Wisconsin when you were young. Big place, I think 30% of the population deer hunts. That was something I think you used to do with the family. Let's talk about how you got started deer hunting.
Actually, I started at the age of 12, which is the youngest a person can deer hunt in Wisconsin. And I remember going out with my grandfather and my father and my brother at the time. And it has just grown from that. Now that deer hunting for us is a family reunion. Wherever we have been working now, we're able to come home because it is a family reunion for us, and it's something that we really enjoy being out in the woods, you know, looking at God's creation and just enjoying that time.
Well, certainly I can imagine a big part of it as you're talking family reunion is the fellowship. There are people out there that just go hunting and they want to be by themselves, but you wonder if there isn't lonely times in the midst of all that versus the cutting up, the pranks that might be played, maybe something that was cooking that they forgot about and now the whole house smells like smoke and burnt chicken.
My wife is good at burning chicken, but yeah, it's just a special time. For me, I think two of the highlights I really enjoy was both my mother and my sister shot their first deer on our farm. That brings back special memories for us. But yeah, then there is times of pranks, just aggravating each other. We love doing that.
Well, Peggy, let's get your side of the hunting camp, if you will. Maybe you do go afield, maybe you don't, but you can tell what part you play, and you might be the referee between some of the wrestling that's going on.
Well, I don't know about that. I used to hunt, and then I've tore both rotator cuffs and had surgery, and the gun is too heavy to carry now, so I do the butchering. They bring them in, and I butcher them, and I enjoy that. Enjoy that with the grandkids, teaching them how to do it too. And I don't know, I guess it's the time after the hunt of the day when they're sitting around the table talking about what they saw and just the laughter that goes on as a family.
Well, one of those things, I know people who really don't even purchase beef or other types of, red meat, venison fills their whole year round. Is that something that is the case with you guys?
We very much do eat a lot of venison. We make a lot of sausage. We don't actually do it ourselves. We take it in and have it processed for the sausage, but we eat a lot of roast and hamburger, and yeah, it's good for you. And
Well, in the midst of all of this family affair, I guess you could call it, Dennis, you, in the years that you were working, eventually wound up deciding to get a dairy farm. I think you were working on the side as well, just to make ends meet, or maybe your hope was to get rich one day. Why don't you tell us what was going on there in those days?
Actually, ever since I've been very young, I've wanted to be a farmer. That's just something that God had put in my heart. I love being outside. I love working with my hands and doing physical work. My dad, I actually was born on a farm. My dad farmed, but then the Lord called him into the ministry, and so we left the farm. So then, consequently, we weren't exposed to the farm so much, but in the summertime, I had an uncle that was aunt and uncle that farmed, and so I would have an opportunity to go spend some time there, and that just kept that desire in my heart. And then when I was able to marry a farmer's daughter, it's kind of comical because she thought she was marrying a rich preacher's kid, and I thought I was marrying a rich farmer's daughter. Neither one really worked out as far as the rich part, but just kept us exposed to the farming aspect. And even though I was working factory jobs or whatever, I still had that desire to farm. And it was actually through Peggy's dad that we were able to purchase our first farm, and he helped us out. Without him, we would not have been able to do it. Just having still have joy when I am able to be out on a farm, but do have a new desire in our hearts now. But yeah, we really enjoyed being outside.
Well, going back to that deer hunting and that venison cooking up, and we haven't had anything stay in the oven too long. The aroma smells so good. That's reminding me that my wife, Cindy, is standing by to share today's recipe. Folks, do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish game or plants you're harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of activity you like to do, and we'll send you a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, for that recipe. We'll be back after Cindy shares this.
Our friend White Shoe doesn't limit himself to just bow hunting. This outdoorsman and his family enjoy many different adventures together, not the least of which is fishing. When God blesses this Idaho family with a cooler full of iced-down salmon, Dwight fires up the grill. Here's the Shoe family's recipe for grilled salmon. Start the barbecue and place 3 pounds of whole salmon on a piece of aluminum foil which has been dotted with butter. Also dot the top of the salmon with butter and sprinkle with lemon pepper. Now seal the aluminum foil and place on grill above the hot coals. Cook for an hour and be sure to check it before that hour's up for doneness. God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and again, Rice Lake area of Wisconsin. We're sitting here with Dennis and Peggy Robinson. We're talking about having been farmers, and it's a lot of work, and you're trying to make things grow as far as, yes, the hay and the corn that is going to be needed for the dairy cows, and maybe grow to the point where you can be debt-free. That's always a difficulty when you're hoping this year you get rain and next year you do, but last year you didn't. And something happened in the midst of all of this. Dennis, you might explain to the listeners how you were rushing because of the weather to get the hay in, and you probably did something you shouldn't have done.
Correct. What we do when we go to harvest our hay, it's a very time-sensitive product. We go through and we cut it, and then it needs to dry down, so it's a certain moisture content, and so it had dried, and then what we do is we run it through a chopper, which actually cuts the hay to about 1 inch in length, and then that chopper automatically blows it into a forage wagon, and it's in that wagon that we actually take it down to the farm and to unload it. And for our dairy, we had silos, and so when you unload your wagon, you unload it down into a blower that actually blows that feed up to the top of the silos. It's like a giant fan, for those who might not be familiar with it, but it's spinning very fast, and it throws that silage up to the top of the silo where it goes inside there, and then it gets stored there until the winter time is when we feed it. And then on that particular day, as Jerry had mentioned, we were trying to get ahead of the weather. It was getting ready to rain. In fact, it did start to rain that evening, and so I wasn't thinking straight. I was, you know, in a hurry and tired because I was, as was mentioned before, I was working actually night shifts at a cheese factory to help support the farm, and then working all day on the farm. So there's a lot of days I didn't get hardly nothing for sleep. And this particular day, I wasn't paying attention. It was the last load of the day. I had filled the wagon. One of my wagons had broke earlier in the day, and so I had to go borrow one. And this borrowed wagon was quite old and had seen its better days. But so then what I was not filling it completely full when I was chopping. But the last load of the day happened to be this wagon, and I had to fill that thing plumb full so that we could be done, because it was getting to be chore time where we had to milk the cows also. So when I went down to unload it, our son John had been unloading all day for me, helping, and then he had one of our neighbor boys was helping there. But I went to unload this last load, and as soon as I turned the wagon on, I heard a bang and realized after getting off the tractor and looking around the wagon that the apron, which is the chain that lays in the bottom of the wagon, it pulls the load real slowly up to the front, that apron had broke. And so I knew that in order to fix it, I'm going to have to get this hay out of the wagon. And so what I had done was able to shut that apron part off, but leave the augers, which kind of, because when you're bouncing across the field, the hay gets packed in there, and you don't want it falling out in big globs. And so there's three augers that go across the front of the wagon, and they break the load up as it's unloading. And so I left that part on so that it would help break it up, and I just started reaching in with a fork and pulling the hay out. And not paying attention, and with being tired and from working all the time. And on that particular day, which was June 9th of 1998, it was actually seasonably cool out. And so I had been wearing a sweater, a long sleeve sweater. And as I pulled this hay out, one of the teeth on the auger was about a 16-inch diameter piece of metal auger, and then it had like diamond-shaped pieces of metal welded to it so that that diamond would grab the hay and break it up. But one of them teeth actually grabbed my sweater. My sweater got hooked on it and started pulling me in over the front of the wagon. I was not in the wagon. I was standing outside of it, but it dragged me over the front. Ended up going between the top and the middle auger. And I can remember very clearly the two things that ran through my mind at that time. And the first one was thinking, how am I going to stay out of that blower that I talked about earlier? Because I knew if I got into that, what they did find of me, they'd probably carry out in a 5-gallon pail. But then I can also remember saying out loud, God, I don't want to die. And you know, it's funny because basically I had taken God and put him on the shelf and said, you leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. And you know, God could have done that. He could have just let me die that day. But I'm thankful that he saw fit to spare my life, because right after saying, God, I don't want to die, just a matter of seconds, and the augers quit turning. And after learning later what had happened, three of our neighbor men had come and cleaned that wagon out. And they said what they had found, the two main drive chains of that wagon had broke. And it's a number 50 roller chain. It's a very heavy chain. And there's no way my body could break them. So it was God that saved my life that day. I ended up turning the augers backwards myself and getting myself out, and then sitting up on the front of the wagon. And my son hollering for help, and my son John was the one that found me.
Wow, that's something. And I remember one of your friends later told you there was a good bit of you still inside that wagon. We're going to find out more about what happened. We need to take one more break. We'll be back after this.
Since July 6th, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Harvest Home Farm is a family ministry, ministering to families on a family farm. We use farm-related activities to encourage family relationships, teach biblical truth, and reconnect with the Creator of all good things. Just imagine the lessons that come from a refining fire that produces sweet maple syrup, the silence of a lamb in the hands of the shearer, or the struggle of a chick as it pecks its way out of its shell. To learn more, visit us at harvesthomefarm.org, where faith and families grow.
From his own troubled youth experiences, God led Ray Howe to establish Kicking Bear. using archery and other outdoor activities to communicate its message to underprivileged, at-risk, and troubled youth. Kids are taught to find the correct path in life and introduced to positive adult mentor role models. Kicking Bear is a Christian-based ministry with free events that can happen near you. Go to kickingbear.org or call 507-894-4624.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again here at Rice Lake, and I'm with Dennis and Peg Robinson. We're talking about the situation of what's happened, continuing with the story. Peg, I wanted to ask you, you guys came up on your husband, and I'm sure he didn't look good. If I remember reading correctly, the paramedics right away thought, isn't going to make it, went to the hospital, isn't going to make it. They took him to Rochester, Minnesota. I'm not sure that they there thought he was going to make it, but you had people praying, and the doctor had told you one thing for sure that you had to pray for, and that was something about infection. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, you're correct. The doctor had come out, he'd been in surgery all night, and the one doctor came out and said everything that they had done, and then another doctor came out and just said, I just felt compelled to come and tell you that we need to pray for your husband, and then he explained that we needed to pray about the infection, and I explained each of the other two hospitals he was in that night that they had given him a massive amount of antibiotics, and I said, this is the best hospital he could be in, and I says, if those antibiotics don't work, then what are you doing? He says, well, usually we'll go in and we'll cut away. I says, wait a minute, what do you mean usually? He says, in your husband's case, it's different. There's nothing left to cut away because we're already to the lungs and the rib cage and, you know, the main organs and stuff. And I shared with him, I says, you know, everybody that's called, and we've had lots of callers, they've asked how they could help. And I says, that's what we've asked, is that they would pray. Pray for the doctors, pray for Dennis, pray for God's will. By God's grace, he had no infection, and the doctors were absolutely amazed at that because they really didn't give him a whole lot of hope. When we came upon Dennis, he was pretty well cut up. He looked a lot like somebody that would have come back from Vietnam. I mean, these blades, just his whole left side of his stomach into his back was all laid wide open. His arm was in his stomach, and I think God just gave him that instinct to protect that. But his neck was wide open. You could look in. His right side was a long slash, and then his arm. And, I mean, he had a lot of small cuts, too, and on his forehead. But he had, like, fingers, especially there in the left side of the stomach where his stomach was all wide open. And then also a lower in the groin area, there's an area where their hand would go in when they'd pack him with gauze and try to pull out, or they would pull it out with hay particles on it. Yeah, we didn't know. We just prayed that God would use this in our lives, too.
Remembering that twice a day he was laid on a stainless steel table and hosed out with saline water. The whole thing, as you said, is God use you when this is all done, believing in faith that he was going to heal Dennis, and then eventually you guys would be able to be used by the Lord. What was that move that wound up taking place as the healing? I know there were subsequent hospitalizations for a number of things, but eventually you guys decided to get out of the dairy farming business. Let's talk about that.
Okay, we had started just praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? I kept milking the cows for those next 2 years, and we just kept praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? Then one of our first meetings for our Mission Mound Robin at our church, there was a couple that came and shared about the building ministry and how they were helping mission churches get into their first building. And we were both sitting back in the sound system, and we just looked at each other's tears just coming down our face because God just impressed on both of us that that's what he wanted us to do. And we didn't say a word. We just knew in our hearts. And for me, that was quite a step because I loved it on the farm. I grew up on the farm, and I just really enjoyed the milking end of it.
Well, the reality of it is, eventually, we're all going to be off the farm or out of the city or whatever the case might be. But between here and there, God can use us to reach men, women, and children who need Jesus Christ. So, Dennis, we wound up, I'm meeting you. You were coming, actually, you were there dedicating a church and speaking there as I was heading from speaking in Wyoming. You were finishing up a church in Colorado. You're up here visiting with family. And then the next thing you know, you guys are going to be heading to Florida to start building churches there. Maybe just a final thought to folks that are putting their desires first and how God really wants us to put Him first. And what's the blessing difference between having the dairy farm, it's always what I wanted, and doing what the Lord wants?
I think the main thing is the peace. The Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding. That night that God called us into the building ministry, we experienced that. And being in God's will versus being in our will is, there's two different things. The peace that we've had, and we've actually enjoyed life more being in God's will and doing what He's called us to do. And it has just been an awesome experience, not running from God, but running for God.
Amen. And Peggy, what are your thoughts that you might share with somebody that's been holding on to, it's all about what I want and not concerned about what the Lord wants?
Well, the day before Dennis had his accident, we had had words working on the chopper, and he said, told me to go to the house, and I can remember saying as I went to the house, God, He's yours. I tried to change Him, and I couldn't change Him. And it seemed like when I let go, God could do what He needed to do in our lives. And and that's what's brought the joy, is by letting God have first place. Not what I wanted, not what He wanted, but what God wants. And that's the only place you're going to find true joy, is in doing what God wants you to do. He definitely is a different person. I'm very thankful for it.
Well, we just praise the Lord for your sharing. Appreciate the fact that God allowed us to hook up so that we could do this rendezvous, and your willingness to share how God transformed both of your lives, and letting everybody know that we serve an incredible Creator. Thanks for sharing on God's Great Outdoors, Dennis.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege for us to do this.
And you too, Peggy.
Thank you. It is a privilege to be here. Thank you.
We at God's Great Outdoors believe that nothing happens by accident. The chance of, in Iowa, at a gas station, crossing paths with Dennis Robinson was something that God had planned. Then you have this interview and how it may impact people across the country and Canada by radio and all over the world by the internet. God only knows how He's going to use that. Dennis has also written a book called Second Chances, and it tells the entire story in more detail of what was shared here with the radio interview. But perhaps because you've heard this, you would be interested in talking to Dennis about having him come and speak at your church at some kind of an event as well. You can call him at area code 515-556-9297. And again, that's 515-556-9297. But then the question becomes, what about you? Have you put God on the shelf the way Dennis did? You know, we have a number of things on our website that are available to help you to reach other people. Books, DVDs, and so on, but we have numerous tracks, and one of them is by David Morris, where it's titled Me Now, God Later, and that's the very same thing that David had done in his life. He put God on the shelf, and everything was about him and what his desires were, and not what God wanted for him in his life. Are you there as well? Maybe that track would be something that could speak to you, or you could give to someone else. And you can see all the things that we have available by going to our website's web store at ggoutdoors.org. But perhaps right now, this is even a time when you need to be speaking to the Creator God, Jesus Christ, and confessing the fact that you've been doing the same thing. You don't have to go through a piece of farm machinery and all the struggles that Dennis and Peggy went through just to have God wake you up. You could go right now to the Lord and ask Him to do the same thing in your life, to help you make Jesus Christ first and foremost. And this would be for you, your family, and those that are around you. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Again, that's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And there's folks there 24/7 that can help you begin that first time relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't wait. If that's where you're at and you don't have the certainty, if you died today, you'd be able to stand in the presence of God and have Him welcome you in, why don't you call right now? 1-888 and the words need Him. I do promise you'll be so glad that you did.
From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. Well, we've taken scripture verses that deal with this subject and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. To get your free copy of Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Contact us right away. The bookmark can help share scripture sportsmen want to hear. This then opens the door for your telling of their need for the Creator Jesus Christ in their lives. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Email us at ggoutdoors@aol.com. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.